are doing our kingdom parables. I'm hoping you're learning something, getting something, at least being challenged to study the Word. We're looking again at them today. We'll be in Matthew chapter 13. I want to reiterate the power, the importance of Matthew chapter 13 in your Bible, in your Word of God. It is monumental. It's there that Jesus talks about the age that we live in which we live, the kingdom age, the church age. So we're going to go on with that. We're going to read now the parables that we'll be looking at, our parable that we'll be looking at today. Matthew 13, 31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in the field. And though it was the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Now that's the parable that we're going to be looking at. Only look at one of those. But the emphasis of those parables is that small things can have a massive effect. Of all the music that you've ever heard, all the songs ever written, it's all made up of 8 notes. It's all parts. 8 notes are taken and make all these other notes. Of all the profound statements that's ever been made, all the things that's ever been written, in the English language, 26 letters brought it all about. And that's the thought here of these parables, is that these small things can cause some massive effects. And that's the way the kingdom works. I want to get our minds working and get us in a focus on the mentality which Jesus faced as he taught the kingdom parables and talked about the kingdom. You see, the way the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes and the rabbis that were teaching in those days, the way they brought it was that the kingdom was going to come with this glory, this magnificence, and all of a sudden, here it was, this blazing display. The king would come with power and glory and majesty and might, and this played on in the minds of the disciples and all the people in which Jesus spoke, and it caused the resistance. Because that's not what they were taught. That's not the way it was taught to them. And even after the resurrection, it caused a lot of problems for the disciples. They still didn't get it. In Acts 1, Jesus is actually at ascension. And Paul talks about there was 500 or more people there. They were there. And here they come to the Lord after the resurrection, and they ask him this in Acts 1:6. Lord, are you not at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, that's not what they'd been taught. What they'd been taught is that when he would come, when the king would come, that he would knock out all the resistance, that he would take care of all the rejections. He would send everybody to hell. He would blast the sinners and the evil ones to oblivion. This is pretty much what they were thinking. They had been taught. And so any time something else came along like that, it caused problems for them. You know, that God's judgment was supposed to come, and we would restore the kingdom back to the time of David and Solomon so that the nation of Israel would be a world power. That's what they were thinking. That's what they'd been taught. And that's not what Jesus was teaching. And it even got more confusing to them as the resistance got more and more. As the house of Israel rejected Jesus, and that got more and more, and then as the confrontations that he had with the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and the rabbis and all the people, as that got worse and worse, it got worse because you see, they were wanting him to talk about what he was going to do to them. You know, instead of Jesus telling them what he was going to do to them, Jesus was telling them what they were going to do to him. Instead of Jesus saying, I'm going to kill them, he started talking about, they're going to kill me. And they just couldn't get their heads wrapped around that. You know, that's not the way it's supposed to be, Lord. No, this is pretty much the way they were thinking. And you remember in Matthew chapter 16 where Peter actually rebuked Jesus? Let me set this up for you just a little bit, because in the middle of Matthew chapter 16, around verse 16, 17, and 18, this is where Jesus says, "Who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, we talked about the Son of Man last time. "Who do they say I am, the Son of Man?" And so the disciples answered. They said, "Well, they say you're Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, raised from the dead, one of the prophets." "Yeah, but who do you, who is it that you say I am? I want to know if you're getting it. Who do you say I am?" And so, you know what Peter did? He jumps up and he says, sticks his chest out and says, "I know who you are. You are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "You got it. Very good. Very good." And you know, he says, "I know that flesh and blood hasn't told you this." Now, hear what he said. "I know that flesh and blood hasn't told you this. This is revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And upon this rock, the revelation that I am the Son of Man, that I am the Christ, the Son of God, upon that, I'm going to build a church, an ecclesia, a bunch of people that the gates of hell will not prevail against." He says, that's what he says. Now, and so Peter, you know, he's feeling good about himself, right? The next thought, Jesus begins to tell them, "They're going to kill me." Let me read it to you, because I think here we can really make some headway in our teaching on the kingdom parables. Matthew 16, 21. Just a few verses after Peter just made this revelation statement. "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer." Now, that's not in their theology. "And suffer not just one thing, but what? Many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And that he must be killed." Well, that's not computing in their minds. "And on the third day, he raised to life." Peter. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Rebuke who? Rebuke Jesus. Can you imagine that? Peter takes Jesus to rebuke him, and here's what he says. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you. You got it wrong, Lord. Your theology is wrong. I hate to tell you, Jesus, but you're just wrong here. Never. That's not the way it's written. That's not the way it is. That's not the way they told me in Sunday school. Never." Jesus turned and said to Peter, what do you say? "Get behind me, Satan." Now, let me tell you what he's saying. He's saying, "Peter, your theology is satanic." You got it, Peter? Listen, you're a stumbling block to me. Is that what he says? "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. Your theology is stumbling this thing up. Watch, you do not have in mind the things of God. Your theology is not the things of God. What's in your mind, what's in your theology is what? The things of men." Now, see, they had it all figured out. This was going to happen, this was going to happen, and he was going to come in the splendor and the glory, and that's not what Jesus was teaching, and that's not how he came. What have you been taught? How would the kingdom come? Is there a rapture? Is there a great tribulation? Is there this big planet coming down, this new Jerusalem? Is that what you've been taught? Is that what God teaches? Or is that the mind of men? So, what they were wrongly taught to me is kind of similar to what we've been taught. So he told them the parables. He told them the parable about the four soils. And he says, three of the four will reject me. Three out of four people will reject me. There's going to be pathway soil. And you remember, they just didn't understand the message of the kingdom. It wasn't they were rejecting the word of God. They were rejecting the message of the kingdom. They just won't get it at all. The devil comes immediately and takes it away. And then there's these other two groups that will kind of receive it, but then the rocky soil, it springs up real fast. Ooh, this is really good. But as soon as a little persecution comes, they wither away. And then there's the thorny soil and the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches. In other words, the thing, they're more interested in what life can give them and what the world can give them than what the word can give them. And they reject it. And finally, there's the good soil. So three out of the four reject it. He's told them this. He's told them, he says, right along beside of the good wheat, the good seed that's sown into the field are sown tares by the devil, and they're going to grow right along with it. But don't judge it. Don't try to pull it up, because you'll do more damage than good. Let it grow together, because every single person has a harvest day. Every single person. And the evil, the tare, the zizion, is going to be bundled up and thrown into the fires of hell. And the good soil, the good seed, the wheat, will be bundled and taken to the barn or to heaven. He's told them this. And now he's telling them, you know, listen, you got to get this. And their minds are running 1,000 miles an hour and they're trying to figure it all out. So if there's going to be more rejection than reception of him, if it's going to be 3-1, if there's going to be so many tares, so many evil, wicked people all around us, how's this thing going to work out? If you're not coming in splendor and majesty and might and power, how in the world? Now, they got to be counting heads. Let's see. Let's count in here. Let's 13 counting you. You say you're going to die, you know, and Judas isn't going to make the trip. That leaves 11 of us. I don't know how we're going to pull this off. So what's the answer, Jesus? And Jesus says, the answer is a tiny mustard seed. The answer is leaven, yeast, put into a lump of dough that caused the whole lump to go into this uproar. That's the answer. So let's take a look. Let's take a look at this parable and see how this is going to work out. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, Jesus is telling them about this. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like, not will be like, right? What does it say? Is like. 2,000 years ago, is like. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which a man took. Now the man, again, he doesn't explain this one. The last parable, the man was the son of man. So I'm assuming that he's still the son of man here, this person. The man took and planted in his field. So Jesus, again, is talking about somebody going and planting something in a field. Now, the people were very aware of this. They understood all about gardening and wheat fields and all of this stuff. And Jesus is just telling them parables and not explaining it to them. They're saying, what, you know, like I said that time, I shaved my legs for this. All these people, this multitude of people are there listening to him. And they're not getting it. They weren't supposed to get it. But see, he's talking to them. He's telling them, he's trying to teach them this kingdom stuff. And they're not getting it. And he's talking about a guy going out into a garden now and planting a mustard seed. Now, they're very familiar with this. They raised their own groceries, their own livestock, they did their own butchering, they did their own gardening, they raised their own vegetables, they raised their own wheat, made their own bread, flour. So they were very familiar with how all this worked. And he says, this guy planted a mustard seed. And then in verse 32, though it is the smallest of your seeds, not the smallest seed, but the smallest of what? Of your seeds. Hold on to that, because I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Your seeds. Yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Now, normally this mustard seed plant would be a bush. It would grow to 5-6 feet tall, perhaps, but it wasn't abnormal to see one that would grow to 12 or 15 feet. You can see them online if you want to go look. And the thing is used for all kinds of stuff. It's used for, it's a herb, and so it's used for flavoring and foods. It's mustard. It's used for that. It's also a repellent. It's used for a beauty aid. I was kind of amazed at this. But what the emphasis is here is that this is a tiny little thing. And it normally would grow. It's such a tiny little thing, but it was not limited by its size. That's the whole emphasis of what Jesus is saying. Not all you can do with a mustard plant, but the thing is not limited by its size. You take a wheat seed and you plant it, you're going to get a 3-foot plant come up, a wheat plant. That's what you're going to get. But if you put this tiny little mustard seed in the ground, you're going to get a 5, 6, or even 15-foot high bush here that birds can come in and dwell in and live in. Jesus says it's the smallest of your seeds. Your seeds. It is the smallest agricultural seed, but it's the smallest seed they dealt with. There are smaller seeds, but it's the smallest seed they dealt with. And he says it's the smallest of your seed, but it's not limited by its size. Don't think because it's so tiny that it can't grow something massive. Out of this tiny little thing will come something so massive. And this is his point. See, the kingdom will begin tiny with one man. One man, the Son of Man. And then he's going to take it and he's going to plant it into these 11 other guys. And this is going to grow until it just covers the whole world. Now that was God's plan. That is God's plan. But that's not what they were taught. Is that what they were taught? No. But that was God's plan. So Jesus, you know, he's teaching this and he's getting this resistance from everybody. And so one day the Pharisees come up to Jesus and they say, well, okay, buddy, tell us now. You're going around, you're telling everybody that you're him, that you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God, you're the one come from above. Well, where's your kingdom? When's your kingdom going to come? If you're him, then when's it going to come? Let me read this to you. Luke 17:20. And when he was what? Demanded of the Pharisees. When's the kingdom of God, when the kingdom of God should come? He answered. How many of us have ever heard, when's the kingdom coming? You know, I heard people say, okay, well, the kingdom is going to come. So they're saying, when's the kingdom coming? He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with what? Observation. Let's pause and ingest that just a little bit. In other words, this doesn't have to happen before it comes, or that doesn't have to happen. So, you know, I want to make sure you get it. And if, I know you got questions, and I want your questions. I'm answering some already this morning. But, you know, we're told that this great tribulation has to happen, this rapture has to happen. And then eventually, see, this is different. It's not going to come with observation. This planet's not coming down, this New Jerusalem. That doesn't have to happen to bring the kingdom. But we've all been taught that. And he says, it's not going to come with observation. This stuff doesn't have to happen. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famine, pestilence, all those things we're told are going to happen, right? Jesus says, that doesn't have to happen. It's not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for, behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. The tiny little mustard seed. The tiny little mustard seed. This is different from what they were told and taught. This is different from what most of us have been told and taught. And so there's a resistance from what I'm trying to tell you and teach you. All I want to do is stir you up and get you looking at the Word yourself. Don't have the mind of men, have the mind of God. Figure out God's plan to bring the kingdom. I'm just going to throw this at you. You're not born again to go to heaven. See, that's strange to us, right? But really, read it. John 3:3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born of the water and spirit to enter the kingdom of God. See, it's about the kingdom. This is why this is so dynamic and so important that we get it. So, that's different. Why isn't the kingdom coming? Because it's already here. Where is it? Tell me, where is the kingdom? It's in you. It's not out there. It's not in a tribulation or a rapture or a New Jerusalem. It's in you. And it's supposed to be growing. In the tiny seed within each of those 11 men was a massive potential to extend the kingdom to the ends of the earth. And we see that in the baby that came, the incarnate Christ, who came in the manger. Just this little baby, born in the meekest, obscure way, born in an animal feeding trough, born in the midst of odors and smells and insects, born of an uneducated woman, a very poor father, dad, guardian, whatever Joseph would be to him, raised on the wrong side of the tracks in this little city called Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? In a nation that was oppressed by Imperial Rome, this is the tiny little mustard seed. But inside of that tiny little mustard seed born in that manger was eternal life. And inside of that eternal life is an eternal kingdom. And he took that seed and he planted it into those 11 men. And it grew. And it grew and it grew and it grew. Inside of all of us is the potential to massively grow the kingdom. I'm a little under 6 feet tall. But I, in the kingdom, I'm 12, 15 feet tall. Talking about that earlier, Terry. Stand on the principles and you get tall. The kingdom began very small, but it ends very large. Psalm 72:8 says this, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth." And to what? The ends of the earth. And that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The king of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yay! Yeah, say yay! 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 All kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. That's how big that little tiny mustard seed born in a manger got. Revelation 11:15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign." How long? How long? How long? How long? So, if it's ever and ever, do we have a 7 years in there or a 3.5? Or are we taken out of it so that it won't grow? Do we have the mind of God or do we have the mind of men? This is encouraging to me that it's forever and forever. This little tiny mustard seed, once it gets into something, it has this effect on it. So that encourages me. Because sometimes I get so discouraged. I want to see church growth. I want to see things happen. And I see people come through and leave. And I wonder, you know, what's happening here. And even some of us that know what we're supposed to be doing, know how we're supposed to be giving, know what we're supposed to be ministering, how we're supposed to be bringing our talents and our gifts and our time and offering it into the kingdom of God and not doing it. You know, that gets to me sometimes. I get discouraged. But you see, it's not in what I see. Because the kingdom doesn't come with observation. I know that if you're here very long, you're going to hear about the kingdom. Right. And once I get it in you, You're done. You're done. Nothing else works anymore. And Jesus is saying this, once this gets in, it's going to grow. So let's finish this up. Matthew 13:32. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree. So that, here's why, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. This Greek word here, I'll do my best. I want to show it to you because I think it's important. Kataski no'o. Pretty good. That's pretty good. Kataski no'o. What it means is to camp down, to remain. King James Version translates it this way, lodge. The New Living Translation says find shelter. The New Revised Standard Version says make nest. The thought is that in the kingdom, we find a place of security. We find a place of rest. We find a place of prosperity. We find a place to raise our families and our children and have our homes and to do well in life. This is the kingdom. And when you're in the kingdom, this is the way it's supposed to be. Every place on the planet that has accepted and received the kingdom and the king is experiencing this very thing. They prosper. The United States of America is probably the best of all the examples that I could possibly give you. Every good thing about America is based on kingdom truth. Every good thing. What's good about America is good because of the kingdom. Every good thing. I mean, just think about this. Freedom, dignity of life in America. The judicial system that we have. The sense of right and wrong here. The educational system that we have. Free enterprise that we get to have. Dignity of women. Think about that. Dignity of women. Care of children. Our health systems. All of those things are kingdom truths. Even in the other nations who get in the branches of America. Think about that. They get into the protection of America. They enjoy the same stuff. The security, the rest, the peace. They enjoy the prosperity. Now, take that and flip it over and contrast that with nations who reject the king and the kingdom. Think of any of them. Any of them. They reject the king and the kingdom. And you find the opposite true. You find poverty, oppression. No dignity of life. No really judicial system at all. Education so low. Poverty so high. No dignity of women. But in spite, Jesus says, of the rejection, in spite of the three of the four rejecting it, in spite of all the tares that are growing and the roots entwangling and entangling and all of this stuff, in spite of the tininess of its beginning, it grows and it covers this earth and it grows and it grows and it grows. And it grows from the smallness of beginnings, the little baby in the manger, comes a kingdom that will never, ever end. That's the promise of God. Here's what I want you to hear today. You and I are not just a bunch of Christians who are deceived in believing something that's not real. I mean, just look at the nations and this tells you this is real. We're not believed in just being a little group of people just with a rope hanging on with a knot tied on the end of it, dangling over some fictitious tribulation that we're supposed to be fearing so we can get taken out of here. That's not what we're here to do. Inside of each of us is a seed, a mustard seed of the kingdom of God. And what it's supposed to be doing is growing and the kingdom getting bigger and bigger and bigger for a kingdom that will never, ever end. We're here to grow, not go. You're here to do something. Now, while here, enjoy the kingdom. Rest in the branches. Make your nest there. Raise your family there. Prosper there. That's what you're supposed to do. But that kingdom is growing. Let's pray. Just want to, as your head's bowed and your eyes closed, just want to project one thought to you. And that's this. Is it growing in you? Is the kingdom growing in you? Let me say it another way. What are you doing to cause the kingdom to grow? Are you doing what the king says do? Are you giving? Are you bringing your talents? Are you bringing your abilities? Are you ministering? What do you do for the kingdom? Not just here, anywhere. Do you witness? Do you tell people about the kingdom? Do you bring people in? What are you doing? Now, sure, every one of us get to enjoy it. We do. Thank God. Thank God for the kingdom. Thank God for America. Thank God. But what are you doing to cause the kingdom to grow? Just imagine, if you would, just imagine, if every single one of us gave as we should, witnessed as we should, ministered as we should, if every single one of us did that, how much quicker, how much faster could the kingdom grow? What kind of a difference could I make? So here's my challenge for us today. If you, like me, say, you know what, I can do more. I might can give more. I might can give more time, more talent, more money. I might can give more. I can witness more. I can talk about it more. I can help the kingdom grow. If you, like me, would say that, would you, along with me, raise your hand right where you're sitting and say, yeah, I can do a little more. I can do more to cause the kingdom to grow. I see just about all of our hands. Father, you see our hands go up. Well, we can do more. We can do more. Each of us, Lord, we can do more. And so, Father, I pray right now as we agree together that, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Lord, let earth obey you like heaven does. Let earth function in the way you say to function, as does the moon and the stars, as does the holy angels. Let it come here, Lord God. Let it come in each of us. In the name of Jesus, head still bowed and eyes still closed. Now, some of you have rejected the kingdom and rejected the king. And so your life's a mess. You're not living in the branches that you could be living in. You're not having the nest you could have, the family, the prosperity that you could have. You're not where you need to be with God. Maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you've received Him and gotten away from Him. Listen, He wants you in the kingdom. He wants you in. He wants your life to prosper and grow and be good. He wants you in the branches. So if that's you and you just say, Delbert, I'm not where I need to be. I want to be. I want to experience the kingdom in my life. I want to enter the kingdom. I want to be born again so I can enter the kingdom and see it and experience it. That's what I want. So if that's you, you're just not where you need to be with God one way or the other. And you say, today I want to try. I want the Spirit to help me become what I need to become. If that's you, would you raise your hand right where you're sitting? Just raise your hand. Let me pray for you right where you're sitting. See a hand there, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Thank you.